So today I'm going to be talking about the comparative phylogeography of three coastal beetles. And before I go into the details of the project, I would like to give you some background information on the California Beetle Project. This is an NSF-funded project that has four main goals. First, to do a complete inventory of California beetles, to conduct intensive phylogeographic studies of several species, to create an online database with specimen records, and to promote the appreciation of California beetles. Up till now, we have studied three species for the phylogeographic part in detail: the ground beetle Calathius rufficolis, the rove beetle Cepedophilus castaneus, and the darkling beetle Nyctophoris carinata. The focus of our work has been the transverse ranges, showing here. And what we're interested in was to understand the historical and recent changes in the genetic landscape of the transverse ranges. For this study, we shift our attention to the coast of California, studying three beetles I'm going to show you in a minute. And our questions here are: what is the population structure of these beetles? How congruent is the phylogeographic signal of three unrelated species? And what are the historical and recent connections of the coastal habitats in California? So these are the three species under study. From left to right, we have Tenebrionid, Silus ciliatus, which is a unique habitant, fossorial and flightless. Hysteria beetle, Hypocaccus lucigulus, which is also unique habitant, fossorial, but can fly. And hydrophilic beetle, Sertium fipreatus, that lives under rock and can also fly. So you see we have three beetles with different life histories here. These are our sampling localities. I'm not sure if you can read the number, but each circle is a population, and the number in each circle is how many specimens we have from each locality. And you see that our sampling localities match very well among the three species. So what we did, we used 830 base pairs of CO1 gene, and we did both population genetics and phylogenetic analysis to get a historical perspective of what's going on. We did Bayesian likelihood, parsimony, and haplotype networks. And because of time constraints, I'm just going to talk about the Bayesian analysis here. We studied gene flow using FSTs, and we studied the geographic structure of population using analysis of molecular variance and isolation by distance. And finally, we used fluxway to do a coalescent estimation of population size and growth. So going directly into the results, for Silus ciliatus, we had 26 haplotypes out of 77 individuals and a maximum pairwise distance of 5.5%. And on the left here, you see the phylogenetic tree, the Bayesian tree. The color of the clades correspond with the color in the map. And you see we have two very deep clades. One clade consists only of populations of Monterey Bay and Big Sur, and the other clade consists of all other haplotypes from the other populations. And there's not much structure there, but at least you see that all haplotypes from San Diego and Los Angeles County are grouped together in a morphologic group. The isolation by distance was significant, and all FST pairwise comparisons except one were significant, indicating very limited or no gene flow among populations. And fluctuate indicated that all populations were stable here in size. For Hypocaccus, we had 32 haplotypes out of 73 individuals, and the maximum pairwise distance was 2.5%. Here the image from the phylogenetic tree is getting a little bit more confusing. Neighboring haplotypes tend to group together, and there are clades that are consisted only of haplotypes from a single population, but this is not the case across the board. Isolation by distance was also significant here, and most of the FST pairwise comparisons were significant, indicating limited gene flow here as well. For Sertium, we had 79 haplotypes out of 85 individuals and a maximum pairwise distance of 1.9%. And what's very interesting here is that pairwise distance was the same when comparing haplotypes within the same population and when comparing haplotypes between different populations. Also, we would expect the least haplotype diversity from a species that has the greatest ability to disperse, and this is obviously not the case here. The phylogenetic tree is obviously a mess. There is not enough resolution to be able to tell what's going on, but from the little resolution that there is here, you see that haplotypes are almost grouped randomly without any clear population affiliation. The FSC's comparisons were significant for very, very few populations, indicating very high gene flow here, and flux rate indicated that all populations were expanding in size. Another set of analysis we did was the analysis of molecular variants. So the idea here is that we group populations into two clusters, and we wanted to find the grouping that maximizes the among group variation. And when we have the what we want to find out is that so basically when we have the maximum among group variation, we'll have the greatest correlation between genetic diversity and geographic structure. We grouped the population based on hypothetical a priori phylogeographic breaks. For example, Monterey Bay and Point Conception are considered phylogeographic breaks for California for many organisms. So what you see here is on the map you see where we put the break, and above the map you will see the different graphs for the different species. Different colors indicate different sources of genetic variation. The blue color is the among group variation, the red color is the among population within group variation, and the yellow color is the within population variation. So for this case, when we split the two populations into a hypothetical Monterey Bay break, you see that we can explain almost 65% of all genetic variation in Silurus based on the among group variation. While this is not the case in the other two species, with where the majority of the genetic variation is the within population variation. If we move the break a little bit southern at Big Sur, we can explain almost all genetic variation in Silurus based on that grouping. And that's indicative of a serious phylogeographic break, and that goes well with the image we saw at the Bayesian analysis. However, this is not the case in the other two species, where the among group variation decreases. And finally, if we move the break to Point Conception, you see here that the among group variation has decreased for all three species, and the same trend continues if we keep moving a break southern and southern. So what we have here, the phylogeographic signal is not concordant among the three species. However, there is something going on at Monterey Bay, and there's certainly a break for Silurus and maybe something for the other two species. There's a clear gradient in genetic diversity as we go from a fossorial flightless beetle to a fossorial beetle that can fly to a not fossorial beetle that can fly. So as we go from Silurus to Cercium, the haplotype diversity and the gene flow among population increases, while the pairwise divergence and the geographic structure between species among population decrease as well. I'd like to thank all these people for the help and funding sources, and I'll take any questions if you have. Thank you.